In the studio, I have Dara Fleming. Evening, Dara, how are you?
How's it going? Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome, sure. No problem. I must admit, I came across your book last week when a friend of mine sent it on to me, and I must admit, it really resonated with me, like, you know, about, and I suppose working as a therapist, I would come across a lot of clients who struggle with being alone and being lonely and stuff like that. So, you know, do you want to tell people a little bit about your journey?
Yeah, so as you said, yeah, my name's Dara. I'm a writer, poet, and I do a lot of work on mental health. I have my own mental health blog called Thoughts Too Big, and I work for Lust for Life. But my journey with mental health started when I was 17, and my best friend took his own life. And that was my introduction to mental health, which was quite a traumatic introduction to mental health. I mean, it was never discussed in school. And then all of a sudden, my best friend got to a place where his mental health was so bad that he had to take his own life.
Right, okay.
And that was, you know, very traumatic, and there was a lot of grief involved with that. And then that grief for me morphed into depression, but I didn't know what depression was because we hadn't had the education. So I thought, this is just the way I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a case of that I was sad all the time. It was a case that I couldn't feel anything at all.
Right,
I couldn't feel happiness, sadness, anger. I was just very numb to everything. And that went on for quite a number of years until eventually I had a panic attack in college on the street on a night out. And it was in that moment in the days after that I realised there was a problem. There was a lot of stuff I wasn't dealing with. And I went to counselling for the first time in UCC. And then once I got through that kind of first, you know, bit of counselling, got back to a place where my mental health was better, that's when I kind of started thinking about what I could do in mental health to stop this type of thing from happening. One, stop people from taking their own lives, and then as a result of that, stop people having to bereave suicide, because it is very traumatic. And that's when I started the blog, which is just an open conversation around mental health, and I suppose the book Lonely Boy is an extension of that.
And how's the blog going for you?
Brilliant. I've been doing it for 7 years now.
Wow.
It won Mental Health Blog of the Year this year. So I think in the last 2 or 3 years, due to the pandemic and everything, it really kind of took off because people were looking for, I suppose, a lot of mental health outlets because people's mental health was struggling.
Mm.
And I think only the other day I was notified that it's the 24th most popular blog in Ireland.
Wow, congratulations.
So that was
well
pretty
done.
Cool. Yeah. Someone sent me a link to something, and it's brilliant, and it works in two ways, because obviously the hope for it is that it helps other people, but it also helps me because it's essentially an online journal.
Yes,
where
exactly.
I just talk about whatever I'm dealing with, and people can resonate and relate to a lot of it. So it's been really, really nice.
But it's a very brave thing to do, to share what's going on for you in your own head and stuff like that, like with God knows how many people, you know.
Yeah, I think, like, in the early days when I'd never posted anything anywhere, like, I would have been terrified to post even, like, small stuff. But as it goes on, as you get used to it, you kind of get desensitized to the fear. Because I often feel like, no matter what you do in life, there'll be some people who don't like what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But what I found early on is that the people who don't like what I was doing rarely said it to my face.
Right, okay.
And you just have to deal with that. It's part of putting yourself out there, you know. So I kind of got used to put myself out there, and that made it easier to write the book about my own mental health, because I was already in the space of, like, oversharing, I suppose.
So would you have used stuff from the blog in your book?
Yeah, like aspects, like, I suppose, like, the blog is slightly different, like, it's a slightly different form of writing, but it's reflecting on the week I just had. Say if I had some sort of anxiety to deal with, and we'll delve into that and figure out how I got over it. And then I suppose the book is more macro than that, because it spans almost 10 years, and it's just probably more major issues in my life. So depression, I had difficulties like maintaining long-term relationships, fear of death was a big thing for me for a long time. So it's kind of just a bigger, wider concept.
And how did you get over the fear of death?
I got really into like Stoic philosophy.
Okay.
A big fan of Marcus Aurelius, and one of their key tenets is that memento mori, is that you have to remember every day that you'll die. And I think it is that kind of it's kind of an element of desensitization therapy for other fears, like if you're afraid of spiders, you need to be
exposed
exposure therapy, that's what I'm thinking about. So yeah, it was very much like just spending a few minutes every day just reminding myself that this could be the last day, and that really helped me, because in the past I used to have major panic attacks about death if it came up, and I started kind of ruminating on it, but now it's more of a journey. Comfortable with it, and I kind of going through the phase now where I'm accepting it's just a part of life, you know.
And I mean, you know, what age, how long ago was it since your friend died?
It's 11 years in January.
Wow. Okay. So, jeez, yeah, you were quite young. Were you 17 then?
17,
was it?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. That's an interesting age to lose a best friend, like, you know. And had you any signs, or was it just because he struggled with his mental health?
Yeah, like, because we're in an era where mental health wasn't really talked about. I think since then we've turned a corner. Like, mental health awareness is very much in the zeitgeist, and that's brilliant. But back then, no one talked about it, and if it was, it was hushed tones, it was a lot of stigma, and I feel like he, you know, was affected by that and just felt like he couldn't talk to any of us about it. Because, like, from the outside looking in, and this happens a lot with depression, he looked happy and he looked like he was enjoying himself, and he was out chasing women and he was playing basketball and all the stuff that a teenager does, and then, you know, one day it turns out that wasn't the case, and he felt like he couldn't talk to anyone.
Yeah, and he committed suicide. And then your world changed.
Yeah, it's left, like, because we were, like, extremely close for 5 or 6 years, and it left a big hole in my life. And I suppose there was a time where I could have went either way, where I could have went down a darker path. But, and I don't know what caused me to turn away from that. But the thing I take solace in is the fact that, like, what happened with Irby has brought a lot of positive in the world, because I think the work I do in mental health, I like to think, helps people, and you know, people reach out all the time and they are grateful for the work. So I think, you know, in that aspect, his death wasn't in vain, and that does bring some comfort now.
So I suppose that leads us on to, at 28 years of age, writing a full book. How was that feel?
It was interesting because it didn't start as a book.
Right.
It started as a journal, because I was just trying to figure out, there was this one issue, and it was the inability to maintain relationships. And I, you know, for my early 20s, I always made excuses. I was like, oh, you don't want to be in a relationship when you're in college. And then that came through college, went, was still in that mindset. And then eventually I was like, well, you do want to be in a relationship, but you're not able to make it work. And that's what I wanted to figure out. So I started writing that, and eventually that led me into different paths, and all of a sudden I had 20,000, 30,000, 40,000 words, and they were all different themes. So then I was like, okay, this could be a book, but it can't just be this chaos that is now.
Yeah.
So I formatted into different essays, and that's eventually what Lonely Boy became. And it's just very much a reflection on my past to figure out my own, like, impact on my mental health and, like, the role I was playing. Because I do think we all have a certain amount of responsibility when it comes to that. Like, we don't have full control, but we do have some, you know, our behavior does affect how we feel. And I think for a long time, the way I was behaving was negatively impacting my mental health. And I wanted that to change. And I always say this, and I've said it multiple times, but even if the book never got published, it was worthwhile, because it allowed me to understand myself more.
Yeah.
And that in turn allowed me to figure out what I needed to do to become better mentally.
Yeah. So you feel that this journey has really helped and your mental health, and helped you to ground you in the present, and helped you to realise what's going on for you.
Exactly. Like, and I think the biggest thing was that I looked at my flaws and, you know, the imperfections, and we're all imperfect. And, but I think a lot of us tend to ignore the flaws. But if you want to accept yourself, you need to accept both the positive and the negative aspects of who you are. And I think the book allowed me to do that. And now it's a case of, I know exactly who I am, which means the external world can't really affect me as drastically as it did in the past, because I know my good parts and my bad parts.
Yeah. And how was the pandemic for you around your mental health? Because I suppose you were a good bit on your journey before the pandemic hit. But did it help you?
Well, I started writing Lonely Boy during the pandemic, because that was, you know, I suppose as we went into lockdown, you know, our lives are stripped away, and a lot of the crutches we have for mental health were taken away, and my mental health started to kind of go downhill again. I started getting into a low mood, and I wanted to be as preventative as possible, and writing has always been really impactful for my mental health. So that really helped to have that project, because it did take me like a year and a half to write it. So that was a big chunk of the pandemic. But I think for me, I needed a routine during lockdown of things I know to help my mental health. And if I had that routine, at least, you know, if I was having an anxious day, I was like, well, if I do this, then I know that helps. So like exercise has always been really important for me, or, you know, stuff like drinking water, getting enough sleep, socializing to the extent we could, especially in the first lockdown. But all that stuff was really important. So I made an effort to do it as often as I could, and that did help.
Yeah. And do you feel that it maybe focused you a little bit more, I suppose? You know, a lot of the guests that I've had on over the last couple of months have talked about that actually the pandemic was actually a good thing for them, insofar as it really stopped them in their tracks and got them to focus on themselves. You know, I mean, I would always say that, like, around mental health, that, you know, the pandemic itself was actually a good thing for mental health, because it got people to actually stop, take stock of their selves, and actually not like what they see, and be willing to act, be brave enough. And you said it yourself there at one stage, where you said, you know, when you look at the darker stuff at yourself, it's a hard process.
For sure.
You know? But once you get through it and you come out the other side, like, you know, it's a wonderful place to be in.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, it's not, like, I think it's definitely a necessity to look at the negative parts of yourself, but it's hard and it's painful. And there's a lot of days when I was writing Lonely Boy, I was like, because I was looking back at who I was and I didn't like who I was, and I was, you know, that was painful. But when you come out of it, as you said, you feel far more whole, and that's really, really special. And I think the pandemic did that for a lot of people, because I know a lot of people started reflecting on, like, do I really like the job I'm in? Do I really like how I'm living my life? A lot of people were, like, making plans to go traveling because they've been putting it off, because it led us to, like, all the chaos of daily life was just stripped away, and we really had to, like, see what we valued most. And that is, like, you know, there was a lot of negatives of the pandemic, but that's a really positive one that we got to reflect, because we don't really give ourselves time for solitude in normal life. And I think the pandemic forced us to have solitude, and that's really important for understanding what you want in life.
And I mean, I suggest to most people that they should take, you know, a bit of time out every day to actually sit with their feelings and emotions and see what's going on and what's happening to them. Like, you know, I mean, my second guest later on, we're going to talk about the impact of emotions on ourselves and on our body.
Brilliant.
You know, and I suppose for myself, running a cancer support centre as well, like, I can see the impacts that of actually not dealing with your emotions, not dealing with your feelings and emotions, how that can manifest into an illness or something, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why it's so important that you actually do take stock. Absolutely. And I assume still on your daily routine, like, around mental health, because I suppose one thing that people don't realise is that there is a daily routine around your mental health every day, that you need to do something positive. I suppose for me, like, gratitude journaling, you know, is really powerful, you know. And I remember reading an article a couple of weeks ago about the fact that if you're doing gratitude, you can't have anxiety.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
so it makes sense. You know, I mean, you've dealt with anxiety. I've had anxiety in my life.
Yeah.
And I remember reading that article and I went, wow, that makes so much sense.
Yeah,
like, you know,
it connects, like, it makes sense. Yeah.
And it keeps you present as well, which is really important. Like,
yeah.
So Lonely Boy is Lonely out Boy. At the moment in bookshops and online.
Yeah.
And, you know, I suppose you've mentioned a bit about Lonely Boy, and what's your reflective piece as the finished product now of Lonely Boy? If for people to read it, why would they read it?
I think for me, why Lonely Boy is important and why it could help people is that the most effective way I've understood to deal with mental health and the stigma around mental health is to talk openly about your own mental health, because when you do that, that lets people know that they can talk about their mental health and that they can talk to you about their mental health. And that becomes a ripple effect, because then if they talk about their mental health, other people talk about their mental health. So that's the big thing in Lonely Boy, that it's like I'm inviting people to the conversation and hopefully people join in. And the second thing, which is really important, is that we all have good and bad parts. We're all sometimes the hero, sometimes we're the villain. And we need to reconcile that, because in our modern era, social media, we only see the hero. We only see the positive, and all of us have negative traits. And it's not healthy, I don't think, to ignore those negative traits. They're part of you, and they're important parts, because if you don't have the negative, you can't have the positive.
Exactly.
They're yin and yang. So I wanted to make it as real as possible and show the monstrous parts of who I was as a kind of so people understand that like it's okay to be imperfect and it's okay. You can still be happy and you can still be a good person with imperfections. And I think that's what I learned from writing Lonely Boy. And it was really, you know, it did change my life to an extent. So.
And something popped into my mind there about negative and positive. Someone described it to me as when you have a car and a battery in a car, there's negative and positive. Mm-hmm. So the only way the car will work is with negative and positive.
Exactly.
So it's just understanding that concept.
So
if someone wants to get your book, how do they get it?
It should be, well, it's available to order in any bookshop and it's in a lot of different indies. So as I said, it's in Limerick, Galway, Dublin, Cork. It's going to be in Waterstones next week. You can order it online. Best place to do that is directly from the publisher, which is bookhubpublishing.com. It's also on like the Amazons and stuff, but you know, support your indies before you do anything like that. And yeah, it should be easily
available. You said it's available in Middleton, is it? Where is it available in Middleton?
Middleton Books.
Okay, so
and hopefully like any and all indies will...
Independent stores will stock it for
you. Yeah, and if they don't have it, they have the ability to order it now. Okay. So if you just ask your indie, they'll be able to get it for you.
And I'm just going to throw this at you. If you were to give one message to people out there around mental health, what would the message be?
It's the one that's said the most often, but it is true. And I think we say it, but we don't really like sit in it. It is, if you talk about your mental health, it gets easier. Mm-hmm. If you talk about your mental health, it allows other people to talk about theirs. So like it is, as much as it's like going to serve you to talk about your mental health, the more you talk about it, the more it helps other people to talk about theirs. So it is a very altruistic thing in a sense where it's helping you and them. So if you can just, even if it's a small thing. And I always say like, the conversation around mental health doesn't always have to be somber, heavy, burden. It is at points because sometimes it's very serious, but it can be a casual conversation. Mm. And when it is a casual conversation, it can be fun.
Yeah.
And that's
so it's just giving yourself permission to talk about it. Like,
exactly,
and as I say to people, it's your mental health. It's all in your head. So you should really be able to share it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know?
So thank you very much, Dara, for coming into the studio to me to talk about your fantastic book, Lonely Boy. And I'm looking forward to, at some stage over the Christmas period, myself reading it. So thank you very much, Dara.